Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on it's a nice looking, but it is a different kind of early August afternoon because of the storm that is not really going to affect us as far as rain is concerned. There's been a strong, not just breeze, it's been a windy day today, which makes it feel a whole lot better when you're outside. I mean, probably 20 to 30 mile an hour winds most of the day today. So
have you been on yard work duty today? Were you out there?
I picked up a lot of limbs. Ooh. I picked up a lot of limbs and I attempted to fish some pine straw and pine cones.
Whose were they before they fell into your yard?
Oh, limbs? They're from all over. Okay. And what's crazy? All right. What's crazy is the wind has really been crazy. It shifts drastically.
25 mile an hour gusts today.
Apple. It's felt like that all day. We were watching our granddaughter, 2.5-year-old Kennedy, today, and I mean she loves to go inside and out and inside and out. We're running all over the place, and we had some bubbles, and I was trying to blow the bubbles for her to chase. And it would seem like as soon as I'd wave some bubbles in one direction, the wind would change and they'd blow the other way. So it was like the reverse of being outside around a campfire. You know how the smoke always seems to come your way? It's like whichever way I'd blow the bubbles, they'd go away from her.
Right, and that's
but it's been pretty breezy today.
Tropical storm Debbie, right?
Yes, that's right. I couldn't remember the name.
Hanging out just north of the Big Bend in Florida. You know, I think the eye is just about, I'd say, Lakeland, just south of the Georgia border, in that part of the state. So yeah, I think there's, you know, we're probably not going to be too affected.
No, I don't think as far as rain is concerned, it doesn't appear
in the area. It does get progressively windier as you look at the maps of the state and of Georgia. And we got listeners in the Georgia area. Hopefully everybody can make it through, because even a tropical storm, as you know, Bill, can come in and do some damage.
Oh, it absolutely can.
Trees and power lines and what have you over there.
Yeah, I did notice when as I came in, there were a couple of streets that I came down that I thought it's not likely that their trash cans were just all dropped on their side. That means the wind's blown them over. Once they're empty, the wind had blown quite a few of them over. So just be aware of that. But I mean, actually enjoy it a little bit, though. It feels pretty good outside. It's the Monday Drive. Bill, you heard Dan. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com is with us as well. B-Matt, how's it going?
Going good. Auburn coming off another nice recruiting weekend.
Yeah, no kidding. Yep. They continue to add to that 2025 class. We'll talk about that and more. Auburn has had a few practices now. They're just about ready to go into full gear. We'll get an opportunity to take a look at that tomorrow. Auburn has also supplied close to 10 players for the media to talk to thus far, and we'll have more interviews in the next couple of days. Assistant coaches, I guess, Thursday, Hugh Freeze on Friday, and then a practice that the media will even be able to attend on Saturday.
Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, that is really – we really do. Again, we really appreciate Coach Freeze and the Auburn, Auburn Athletics giving us the opportunity to see as much as we've been able to see, and looking forward to continue seeing.
It's been great. The access and the amount of players and coaches we get to interview mm-hmm. in the spring and fall is just absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, it really is. And it's you talk about a refreshing and a breath of fresh air. That's yeah. that has been great.
Three days of player interviews this week, right. including today, and then offensive assistant coaches Thursday, Hugh Freeze on Friday, and a viewing window for a practice on fan day in the stadium on Saturday. I mean, it's a tremendous amount yeah. of access as we get closer to the start of the season. I figured that there's no harm in letting the media watch a practice that the fans are also allowed to see at Jordan, or at least some fans.
Well, on to victory.
Well, that's what logic would tell you, but not all coaches agree with that.
That's true. But on to victory fans, I mean, if it's a closed practice or an extremely limited number of people are allowed to watch, I can sort of understand excluding folks who are on the beat every day that get to go to other practices for something that you're going to open up to On to Victory members. You know, I figure this is something that could be almost a practice slash exhibition, you know, for the people watching. Although Bill, you were thinking that's generally scrimmage time when you're looking.
It usually is. And, I'm a little surprised. I mean, I'm pleased if it is. I would imagine they'll at least get some 11-on-11 in if we don't have full-time scrimmaging.
Could it be the last practice before, or could it be the first practice before, or the last first practice after, or last practice before a scrimmage and not actually a scrimmage?
It could
instead
be.
Hugh Freeze talked to the media Friday.
On Friday, right?
Could they scrimmage Friday and then maybe?
I guess they could. Now, Brian, do you know? I mean, I'm not 100% sure exactly the practice schedule, because I guess they're not practicing Thursday, maybe, when we get the assistant coaches.
I think that's right, but I don't know that for sure. But they have to take off, how many days is it a week? One or two.
I thought they only get 20. Well, let's see. Yeah, I thought it was like 2 days a week.
Yeah. So Sunday and Thursday, that makes sense.
Yeah, because they practice today. They'll obviously practice the next 2 days because we've got viewing windows. Yeah. So they might, Dan, they might scrimmage, you know, maybe scrimmage Friday if they're not scrimmaging Saturday, or Saturday could be that last prep before a first scrimmage. But it's about the time that you would expect that first scrimmage to be.
Yeah, and maybe the need, I mean, maybe the need to scrimmage isn't as pronounced as it was when you had so many new pieces to the roster last year.
No, I think you've got an idea who. I think they've got an idea who their starters are.
But there still are some competition, mm-hmm. some pretty significant ones. The safety spot next to Bug Thompson, I think, is probably your biggest. You know, well, what would you say? We're a weekend.
I'm looking forward to watching the next time out and seeing if the first 3 or 4 days has done anything to change. Because the first 2 days we were out there, everything pretty much looked about the same.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say if you were looking
at it, still looked like Caleb Wooden was the first guy up.
The biggest competitions at the moment, as far as the depth chart on defense, it's safety, safety next to Bug Thompson,
and even though Hugh Freeze said this, I mean, who's going to be up first? Of course, on the defensive line, it could very well just depend on the matchups of who Auburn's playing. But I think the plan is to play a lot of those guys, to play six guys at the two spots inside.
Rotations are great at both defensive line and receiver, but the reason you rotate is because you want to keep your best players fresh. And I think the question at receiver and defensive line is, who are your best players? If you're down 7 late against Cal, what receivers are going to play the bulk of the playing time? Or if you're up 7 late against Cal, what defensive lineman do you want in the game in that situation? I think rotation plays some role, but it's also who are your best guys, right? It's like when the case has to get solved, right, Bill? You put your best guys on it. Like, I think that, you know, Auburn's got, you know, it's a couple spots where yes, you plan to rotate, you still want to know who are your top options. And there are other positions where rotation isn't as, I mean, that's you would think whoever's the safety next to Bug Thompson is going to play.
Those
more
are going to be primary guys. You would expect them to play at least 2/3 of the time. It's sort of like on the offensive line.
And maybe they're going to evaluate, you know, using the first couple of games to see who those, you know, who that safety should be or who those top guys are. I think that the next corner up after Kayan and Keontae, you know, whoever would go in that situation, because they've talked about I mean, we got to hear from Kane and Champ Anthony today, and you know, between J.C. Hart getting multiple shout-outs, Jay Crawford is somebody that they're clearly
– and Antonio Kite.
And Spooty Kite was somebody that that was just – I mean, the athleticism was apparent the way it's impressed a couple of the more veteran guys. So, yeah, I think there's a – it's just – it's so different than last year when it felt like you had three or four guys competing to be the starter or the backup.
Last year, they everywhere. Probably would have liked to have scrimmaged three or four times.
Yeah, because they were. I mean,
and I don't know that that would. I don't know that would have put Auburn in that much better shape. But they were.
And the evidence
really
that,
looking for players.
The evidence of that would be look at how the depth chart changed between the first game and the fourth game. Right, like I mean, they were still evaluating who needed to be mm-hmm. out there, and there were some dudes you saw a lot. There were some dudes you saw a lot on both sides of the ball. There were dudes you saw a lot the first 3 weeks that you didn't really see the rest of the season. Like there, you know, so I think there's probably and that would be that could happen this year. Feels less likely that someone's gonna vanish off the face of the earth. And we had some players. Would you say there were a couple guys last year who you know they played a couple weeks, or you know, and then you really didn't see as much of them the rest of the way. And
oh yeah,
I think and new guys to the team. You know, players that were newly arrived.
New guys that were experienced guys.
Yeah. And I think there could be a
I'd be surprised if that were the case with the ones that are at the top of the depth chart right now.
Yeah, because and there are very few guys. Bug Thompson's one of the few new additions to the team that you could say is at the top of the depth chart right now. Like, how many of those guys are there?
Receivers? Keandre Lambert-Smith. I think, yeah, you've got two receivers.
Maybe three, Bill.
Right.
I mean, between freshmen.
Well, I think right now your top three. Every time we've looked out there, Brian. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like Keandre Lambert-Smith, Robert Lewis, and Cam Coleman are the first three guys out there.
That's the way I've seen it. I think there are guys pushing and guys that are definitely going to be in the rotation. I think
Sam
Jackson has really stepped up, mm-hmm. making that transition. He's one to watch.
I think there's a slot. 22 starters. On both sides of the ball, I think that you could be looking at a situation where of the 22 against Alabama State opening day, you're assuming three receivers and you're starting 11 on offense, three receivers, a defensive lineman, maybe
left
Rakes
tackle
or maybe Ray. Oh yeah, you're right. Three receivers, left tackle.
Yep.
A defensive lineman, probably mm-hmm. either Isaiah Rakes or Trill Carter or Gage Keys. Maybe two defensive linemen, but I would say probably, for sure,
one and then at least one of the secondary.
I think we could name the starting 22 right now and be 100% or 95 or
90%. Oh, yeah. Well, what Dan's saying, though, is probably a half dozen of those starting 22 are going to be first-year transfers.
Yeah. And then last year, your starting 22 had about 18 guys that were in their first year on the team.
I mean, when you start recruiting like Auburn is and wait till next year and the next year, my goodness. It's just really, really nice.
There are some really promising players that would not be your starters at different positions right now around the team, right? I mean, there are linebackers and edge rushers.
Oh, there's some really promising players that
young receivers
that are going to have a chance to be starters before terribly long as well. I mean, the Amaris Williams, Jamonte Waller, and DeMarcus
but
Riddick.
Now they got a chance to come on at their own.
They don't have to be thrown in there and play, you know, in their first game that they see
and not to take a shot at any previous coaches, but it feels like having exciting players waiting in the wings, having veteran depth at the top of the depth chart, and then exciting players waiting in the wings to step up after that.
Who
feels,
knew that was a good idea?
Well, but has it been missing?
See, what a
A lot's been missing.
Idea,
but that's been missing.
Been one of the things that's been missing.
And it was, you know, for the I'd say the tail end of Malzahn, arguably, and then the entirety of the subsequent
that other guy, yeah.
The subsequent coaching staff.
All right. We're just getting underway. We'll get to our first break when we come back. Yes, we'll talk about the latest addition to Auburn's commitment list for 2025. Another big, literally and figuratively, pickup over the weekend. But we'd love to hear from you. You can call us on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Big shout out to everybody at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Come on in and join us. We're just underway here on the Monday Drive.
War Eagle Auburn family.
Part of the Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Monday afternoon, 19 minutes after 4 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. Yeah, we were just talking about something during the break. I have, I've had a blast. We've had a blast. My wife and I have had a great time here over the last few months, and planning on more, sort of, making as many big name sort of classic artists concerts as we've been able to. Really sad to hear the news that Aerosmith is canceling their done touring, because Steven Tyler's voice is just not back.
Permanent damage to his vocal cords.
It is amazing to me that his voice lasted as long as it did. I mean, think about the notes and the screams that Steven Tyler has done for 50 years. But I mean, yeah, we had tickets to see him Friday 50, of the open date in Auburn's football schedule.
Not 50 years of clean living either.
No, you're
not
right.
Not all 50. No. I mean,
I'm just saying anybody's vocal cords to be able to withstand what he's been singing / shrieking.
A legendary
notes that are just unbelievable.
Legendary rock band, legendary live act. It's
absolutely
unfortunate.
Absolutely, yeah. I never got a chance to see them.
And that's also, I would say, one of your more emulated rock front men ever, too, right? There's a bit in the documentary Decline of Western Civilization Part 2 about the rise of the hair metal bands in the 80s and how many of them were stealing different mannerisms or trademarks from Steven Tyler, whether it was the interplay with Joe Perry on stage, or the bandanas on the mic stands, or the shrieking, or the hair. It was just, I mean, there's a montage in the film where you can see something that Aerosmith does, and then two or three of the club bands, including Guns N' Roses and
hey, when it works,
Pussycat. Like, there are some bands that
it's a compliment and a tribute to them.
Yeah, homage.
Other
I believe
people,
is,
other people other bands go, hey, that's,
I believe homage is French for theft, right? Like, I believe that's how it. I believe that's how it works.
I didn't know it was French for theft.
Yeah, I don't think that's. But it's no, so it's a. I want, yeah. We've talked about your Aerosmith adventure.
Yeah, so I'm down to just one concert now on the open date weekend. So
and we were saying it's remarkable because Bill had tickets to see ZZ Top for the first time ever, and Dusty Hill.
Dusty
right?
Hill passed away that week.
The week of the concert,
and they decided that Dusty would have wanted him to play, and so we got to see the first concert after.
Wow!
After he passed,
I mean, we were certain that show was going to get canceled when Dusty Hill passed.
I mean, I've had Guess Who and Aerosmith canceled on me this summer.
And instead we have you have a pretty incredible moment there, getting to see the first ZZ Top show after Dusty Hill's passing. Unfortunately, this Aerosmith thing probably not going to. You know what? I'm glad they're not trying it with somebody else.
It's not
Aerosmith.
No kidding.
It's not Aerosmith if you don't have Steven Tyler, I'm glad they're not trying it with somebody else.
That's sort of the way I feel about Journey. I mean,
I agree.
Even though the kid sounds just like Steve Perry.
You know what? Adam Lambert sounds great. It's not Queen.
Yeah,
right.
You're right.
Adam Lambert can sing.
I mean, how do you? That's your music there, Brian.
It's not Steve
80s.
Perry. I mean, I saw Journey. A couple
you know what
times
I mean? It's and they sound very much, but it's. It's just not quite the same.
Yeah, no, I think there's something to, and I don't know exactly where you draw the line. Like, do you retire it when you know, if it's a bass player
when
or a drummer?
When it's the lead guy who is an icon.
It just feels,
That's when it's tough.
And there are multiple bands, right, that have switched lead singers and continue. I mean, AC/DC and Van Halen and what have you, that have had.
Well, when they do that and they're still
making new music.
Yes.
People,
then that's understandable. But no, that's okay.
I'm
sort of like when we saw that we had a chance, you know, this past year. We saw the Doobie Brothers, and they have both Tom Johnston and Michael McDonald with them now, which really is cool. So you get to hear the oldest music, and then the next generation.
I'm sure there are bean counters looking at like the Aerosmith brand name and thinking, oh, how much money could be made?
You know
touring. Find some guy who can scream like Steven Tyler, and no, it's. I'm glad that they're saying, you know, we're permanently shutting it down if Steven Tyler can't go. Like, I think that's a noble move. And they're probably, you know what, they're probably leaving money on the table doing that, all things considered. But good for them to say, like, you know, it's not Aerosmith without the stars of the show, the main guys in the cast. And it's what a run they had.
Absolutely. Well, we said we were going to talk about the latest addition to Auburn's commitments.
Yes.
As the Tigers pick up a big one, and I mean a big one, on Saturday evening.
They did. And Caleb was up there to cover it for us. Jared Smith, the edge from Thompson High School, committed to Auburn over a number of other very talented schools that were after him. And he's 6'5", 230-plus. Has the frame to carry, you know, I'd say 265
or more. He looks like he could fill out to 260, 265 and not lose anything.
Nice, quick first step and the speed you want coming off the edge. So another nice addition. Auburn just recruiting in-state very, very well right now. And just overall, his commitment helped Auburn move up to number 5 in the country. So that's just an indication of how well things are going for Hugh Freeze and his staff on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, I saw you explained. I guess you explained to some folks exactly how that was going to do, because there were people trying to figure the math. And what you do is you've got your top 20.
Yep.
You've got your top. The way Rivals does it is the top 20 commitments. So anytime you add someone who would bump a player out of the top 20, it's the difference in those two that goes in. But that was a nice bump.
And I think I'd have to go back and look, but I think Jared was worth what, around 100.
Yeah, it ended up being a net of 76 or something, wasn't it?
Around 150 points.
Yeah, 150 and bumped one. It was around 75.
75 points, yeah. So net 76. But that's what happens when you get over 20 commitments. But Auburn is in really good shape now, I feel like, especially with some of the guys I think could jump on board in the coming days and weeks of finishing with the top 5 class.
You know, a point I was thinking about when we were talking about what the depth chart could look like now and where some young players could slot in, especially, you know, first year players, true freshmen, and how they could be. Like, I wonder if that could impact recruiting. You know, being able to sell, being able to look to, because last year was a work in progress, and you had a lot of veteran additions to the team. But I wonder if you'll be able to point to, if Coach Freeze and his staff will be able to point to, look at the immediate contributions from edge rushers or linebackers or freshman receivers. Mm-hmm. Like if there are going to be true freshmen at different spots, defensive backs that are going to be out there playing early, and whether or not that could be another selling point on the recruiting trail to say you're going to have a chance to play. And maybe they're being offered playing time everywhere when you're talking about the kind of players Hugh Freeze and his staff have been going after. But being able to point to, you know, being able to point to something concrete as proof that you know, young players can get on the field. Well, I mean, Keldrick Faulk was on the field a ton last year. Connor Liu was the starting safety or starting center for half the season.
Kay and Lee.
Yeah, I mean, there were freshman contributions last year, but it feels like with a stronger freshman class this year than you had last year, there could be the chance for.
Well, we were just mentioning a few a little while ago. I mean, outside the receivers on the defensive line, you're going to see a couple of guys. You're going to see some youngsters getting playing time in the secondary and at linebacker. But I think initially you're going to see quite a few of these guys get an opportunity on special teams.
You are
early on.
Austin Keys singled out Riddick as one of the improved.
I think when you look at defensive line linebacker, Auburn's got good depth there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're still going to play Amaris. They're still going to play Riddick. And they're still going to play a lot of these young, true freshman defensive linemen and linebackers, because it's important to get through a whole season and be healthy. And it's important to get these guys playing experience now because you're going to be counting them to be starters before too long.
Well, and you also, like Dan was saying a little while ago, you'd love your starters to be fresh at the end of ball games. And if something happens and a guy goes down, you don't want somebody that hasn't been out there. I mean, guys, Malik Blocked and TJ Lindsey, those guys, if they can get them in there, I think they will.
We have seen Auburn teams, a lot of teams I have seen, that have maybe three interior defensive linemen. They play almost every snap. That is not the Auburn of today. They're going to rotate, I don't know.
That was the undoing of the
– 6-7 guys on – you know, in the at tackle and nose guard.
The way that the 2022 team, I mean, the undoing of it, we were talking about, like, I mean, to see Marcus and Colby out there just I mean, every snap on, you know, on the defensive line, it's not sustainable. And to have, I mean, yes, there's still a question of who will emerge as the players that Auburn can count on in the biggest moments. Who are the guys that Auburn's going to want to deploy? You know, like we're saying, hypothetical, if you're in a one possession game late against Cal or Arkansas, real early in the season, you know, this is the time where they're
evaluating. You want those guys, you want your best guys in the game, and you don't want them gassed. You don't want them having had played, you know, 60, 70 snaps. It'd be, you know, you'd like them to be, you know, fresh enough to be able to give it their best there, you know, with the game on the line.
And the other thing that that leaning on your depth in some of those games could provide is, as you were saying, Bill, you don't want, if something happens to, let's use corner as an example. If something happens to Keontae or Kayan, next guy up, whoever it is, if it's Spooty Kite, if it's J.C. Hart, Jay Crawford.
That's the one area they cannot afford to have.
But if it happens, you don't want that player's first action to be against Oklahoma in the second half because you've been leaning on your start. Like, you want to be able to at least ease them into you gave Kite and J.C. Hart quality snaps against Arkansas and against Cal, and you got them some football, you know, where it's not their debut is, hey, we're up 7 late against Arkansas, you know, against Oklahoma, and now you have to go in for an injured Keontae Scott or something like that.
My guess is in that situation they move Champ Anthony over to corner and bring somebody up at nickel, but you know, we'll see. Hopefully that we don't have to find the answer to that question, right?
Sure, and I think some of that depends on if they've been able to play those young guys.
Well, they're going
to
play. There's no
what,
doubt.
Yeah, what have they seen out of them? Because it was it today that both Kane and Champ Anthony shouted out J.C. Hart?
I wrote about that today.
One of the more
and Jay Crawford.
J.C. got singled out as one of the more improved guys on the team from when spring practice ended to now, this offseason.
Right.
And then
Jay Crawford, the true freshman, improvement from spring to now too, was mentioned.
And then Austin Keys singled out DeMarcus Riddick as one of the players that he thought had made the greatest. And that's, I mean, the thought of guys like Riddick and Joe Phillips coming around to the speed and the strategic elements of it, Bill, because physically they look the part.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The thought of Riddick being ready.
There are a lot of these freshmen that don't look like freshmen. Look like. I guess it's because we haven't seen a lot of these.
It's been a minute.
Quality.
I know.
Freshmen.
And look at
for
all
a long
the big,
time.
Tall, long dudes they got coming in 25 class. And the guys that already got committed in 26. Auburn is changing.
Yeah, that is nice. I mean, that's something somebody asked me the other day. It's like, how's Auburn looking? And I said, well, they look better than they've looked in a long, long time. They look like an SEC team. We'll find out how they play, but they look like an SEC team.
I think we all saw Kieron Crawford, one of the first
teams.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Yeah. That guy's a transfer, but wow. Yeah.
334-321-1390. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in as we continue here with the Monday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. All right, we're talking about, let's go ahead and let, we'll do it both hours. But Monday Musings, Brian does each week, sponsored by Uncle Keith's Red Sauce.
Delicious, yes. Available at Publix, Piggly Wiggly's, Renfro, statewide.
I was in a Renfro's, the one off of Chantilly in Montgomery, right off exit 11. in Montgomery, and I saw some Uncle Keith's in there, and I also saw the in the proud they're proud to stock some local stuff.
Yeah.
And Uncle Keith's right there, the red sauce. Careful with the spicy, right, Bill? Oh, you were saying?
Yeah, the spicy is spicy.
I'm fine with the regular.
Yeah, it's got a little kick to it.
It does. Yep. It really does.
But delicious salsa. Once you try it, you'll never want another brand of salsa. And if you want to order online, you can do so using the discount code BMAT15 to get 15% off your online order. And Monday Musings this week was Pat Benatar, 44 years ago today. She released her album, Crimes of Passion, which had three hit songs. And one of them, You Better Run, was the number two ever song played on MTV.
I didn't realize that was the second song played on MTV. It was.
We all know the first song, right?
That would be Video Killed the Radio Star by
Buggles.
The Buggles.
Yep, that's
yeah,
it.
Buggles.
That's it. So.
Yeah, we were all buzzing in on that one.
But I also enjoyed going back and looking at the clip from Fast Times at Ridgemont High where those, where they're talking about the Pat Benatar look, and there's three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Brought back a lot of memories.
Pat Benatar look was...
I can remember. Girl.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But, she could belt it out, too. It was rocking stuff.
Yes,
Hit Me With Your Best Shot also reminds me, I see the NFL highlights to Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Mm-hmm. Remember when they put all their highlights to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's some cool stuff. And then the athletics part of the musing was really to Auburn's recruiting, basically to Auburn's recruiting in state.
It's been amazing so far. Right now, Auburn has five of the top 10 in state. And if you go back through the entire Rivals era, the best they've ever been able to do is five. And that was not necessarily in a great year for talent in state.
I don't know that even under Coach Dye, I can't recall more than six of the top 10.
Right now, they have five. There's a couple I think they could still get and end up with six or seven. And right now, the four of the top 10 that are committed in the state for 2026, Auburn's got three of them. So they are really doing the job in the state of Alabama better than they ever have. And I think it's a really good sign of how well they're recruiting, not just in the state, of course, but all over.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. That's the first thing you want to do is take care of business close to home.
Yep.
I understand that Alabama right now, they don't have as many contacts with the entire staff in state, and that's helping Auburn. But I know they've got a highly rated class, but I think half a dozen of their commits are from California.
And some people are making a lot of those for saying it doesn't matter, but you can go back to 2008 and 2009, which were both great years in state. We're talking guys like Julio Jones, Mark Barron, Drake Kirkpatrick, AJ McCarron. In those two classes, Alabama signed 15 of the top 10. So 15 of the 20 best players in the state, both years overall. Auburn signed none. That was when Nick Saban basically came in and just wiped the floor with the Auburn coaches at that time. And that led to them winning or starting that championship run, was that type of recruiting. And that's what Auburn is starting to do now. Not quite to that level yet, but it's making a big difference.
How does it line up with how Hugh Freeze recruited his first couple of years at Ole Miss? Do you know that? I would think that it's because I thought he was able to. I think it was starting in year two, able to start to really bear fruit with those efforts, and that led to some wins.
It did. Now, Ole Miss is never going to be able to recruit as good as Auburn, just because of the two programs, in my opinion, and the history of those programs and what each program can offer right now. But he recruited fabulous for Ole Miss. I don't think Ole Miss has ever recruited as well as it did under Hugh Freeze during that period when they were rolling there for a few years.
Yeah, so that's great stuff. And again, that's something that Brian does every week, and it's always fun. Because I'm always trying to figure, well, what went on this date or around this date? And it's not just, you go back and forth, different genres, different eras, so... That's really cool.
I do, and I try to set up the first line where you kind of have to guess who it is if you want to play that game, or just jump right into it if you want to. Either way.
All right, we'd love for you to join in here with us. We're not even halfway done here on a Monday afternoon.
Yeah, shout out to SUNY Lee, of course. Should mention another medal for one of the most decorated Auburn athletes ever. She pulls off the
picked up the bronze on the bars,
uneven bars, adding to her collection. Did it in front of Ryan Gosling, among other stars in attendance. For it's been very the crowds have been very cool. Like the energy for these event. I mean that race last night, the 100 meters that, mm-hmm. that came down. I mean the difference between winning the 100 meters and coming in last was like 0.2 seconds or something.
Well, there was
9.7.
One of the swim
it.
Races. I remember Rowdy, and man, Rowdy has been fun to watch here during the Olympics too. I mean, he gets a little excited at times. But in one of the, and I don't remember which one it was, in one of the swims, third through eighth place was separated by 0.08 of a second.
And the 100 was the 100 meter dash.
Yesterday, yeah, where Lyles won, where it didn't look like it because his foot didn't cross the finish line first, but it's not your foot. It's the torso.
Yeah. No, the 100 meter race last night. The photo finish there, where I thought the gigantic Jamaican guy had won.
Yeah, so did the announcers.
So
obviously.
Did the announcers, and it's I mean it's so unbelievable. And it looked like Lyles comes over and congratulates the Jamaican guy and says it looked like he said I think you had it or something. Looking up the screen, and then we get
he looks up and said I told you.
No, then it says no, I got this. But no, it was. Yeah, just an amazing display last night, and there's been some there's been some fun stuff in the Olympics so far this year.
334-321-1390. Love for you to join in as we continue here on the Monday Drive. As we mentioned, I mean Auburn getting closer, probably about to go into full gear.
Yep.
Tomorrow when we get an opportunity to watch. And I'm looking forward to that because that's when some things can change. Some young guys can make some moves. But we've mentioned a few of the young guys. Who are some of the players up to this point, Brian, that have just caught your eye?
Well, I mentioned Keyron Crawford. If you want to talk about catching the eye, he catches the eye.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's put together very well. Looks like what you want out of an edge rusher. And we've heard from coaches and players that he's also performing well out there too. So that's that's a great sign to have now a second veteran guy that can rush
you
the pass.
You can't have too many pass rushers.
And, again, you're allowing those freshmen to come at their own speed and not forcing them in there when maybe they're not ready, although they got some talented, two talented freshman edges too. The receivers, again, I know it gets old.
As a group, I would say.
You can't stop talking about Cam Coleman. Great chance to get out there and see Perry Thompson, who also looks good, looks big, looks like he's been in college for a couple years already, clearly. Our first chance to see Lambert Smith, Penn State transfer receiver. I think a player called him smooth, and that's exactly how I would describe him, too.
Huh, okay.
Very smooth. And, I just think Auburn is so much better at that position.
For the first time in a while, it does seem, and you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but it does start to become a mouths to feed, keeping everybody happy question. We'll see what the playing time looks like at receiver after a couple of weeks. You know, is it going to be veteran heavy? Are the freshmen going to, are any of the freshmen going to be able to overtake and sort of make the, I know we're talking about Cam as a first teamer. On the team already, a guy looking like he would start now.
No question.
Yeah, what kind of strides will the young guys take? What how much will Auburn rely on the three first year players, the three first year veterans, Keandre, Robert, and Sam? And then there's also Camden Brown and Caleb Burton, who have been here. The two holdovers from last year's team at receiver, who have both worked all off season, and it does seem like those are two guys that clearly have the respect of the, especially the veteran teammates. Like when Camden Brown or Caleb Burton has mentioned how much work they've done this offseason, I think I wouldn't be all that shocked if Caleb Burton was in the punt returner mix, depending on who else is. I know he was working a lot at punt returner last year. We're convinced that Keontae Scott, if he's also your number one corner at that position, you maybe need to find another punt returner if you can.
That's a lot of risk.
I mean, really so I would think maybe people have talked about Bryce Kane's the abilities as a possible punt returner. I would think Caleb would be in that mix as well. But that's how they sort things out at receiver, which I can't imagine we're going to really get answers on until later in the season.
Right.
If anyone seems to be out of the mix now, because I wouldn't say, because that's the other thing, right? Feels like all nine guys are in the mix. Like, I mean, I don't know if, I mean, Burton and Brown are running second team right now in practice. And
yeah, because you've got the true freshmen are a little bit behind them, but I don't know how long you're going to keep all them.
Yeah, I think once you get an SEC play, it's 6 or 7 guys.
It's tough to play 9.
Tighten in.
Yeah, it's tough to play 9. You'd for sure play 5 or 6.
And as long as they're healthy, Cam Coleman and Lambert Smith are going to be 2 of those. Robert Lewis is going to be 1 of those.
Sam Jackson's going
to
play.
Seems like he's stepping up to take one of those spots at the slot.
And you'd be surprised if Perry wasn't one of them, right?
Exactly. I mean, maybe not like game one. Of course, game one's going to offer everyone an opportunity to play, probably. But by the time we get into game 4 and 5 in SEC play, you got to feel like he's going to be ready to be a part of that rotation.
Could it come down to a spot? Again, you want to be careful, and everybody's got to stay healthy for this. But could it come down to, I mean, you got your 3 veteran receivers, your 3 veteran transfers, plus Perry and Cam. Could it be everyone else competing for one spot in the rotation? I mean, you guys said 6.
Yeah, you could. Four guys trying for a spot.
Malcolm, Bryce, Caleb, and Cam.
The thing is, if somebody, if you're in game 4, like Brian said, and that hasn't worked out, the good thing is you've still got the possibility of red shirts then.
Yeah. So, Cam Coleman's playing.
But I wouldn't count any of them out. Absolutely wouldn't count any of them out.
Yeah, and that feels, you know what, even last year, it felt like after a week you could count a couple of the scholarship receivers out. And I'm not going to say anybody's name.
Maybe more than a couple. We should also mention.
Well, you couldn't count them out because somebody had to be out there. Yeah, you're going to go with 3 tight ends all the time.
We should also mention Malcolm Simmons as a guy who was not here in the spring.
Right.
We've been out there. We've seen him make some nice plays. And then we've heard from players and from other sources that he's performing really well, had a good summer once he arrived. And he is a guy that maybe people aren't counting on to be a part of that rotation that may jump up and take a spot. Maybe not a starting spot, but a spot.
Well, he was winning track championships instead of enrolling at Auburn in the spring. Like, he was setting state records in jumping categories when he was
talk about the best athletes on this team, he's going to be one of those. J.C. Hart is probably one of those,
too. Yeah, and somebody the other day was mentioning a J.C. Hart, maybe the fastest guy on the team.
Yeah, that was mentioned today by trying to remember.
I mean, one of the defense, was it Kane or Champ? Maybe one of the defensive backs?
May have been, yeah. He's
6'2", 200 pounds. He's a 200-pounder who may be the fastest guy on the team.
I think it was Kane who said Spoodie might be – was he the best basketball player on the team? Something like that. Like, he was talking about how Kite was in explaining why Spoodie Kite was just an all around baller, an all around athlete. Those are the words I think Kane used talking about Kite. He also said that's a guy who, and Bill, you've always liked that, right? You like when
I love it when guys are multi sport players. Either basketball, wrestling.
They
whatever.
They got a deeper bag of tricks than your average athlete.
334-321-1390. Do we need to get to break?
Yes.
We need to get to our final break of hour number 1, then right back with your phone calls here on the Monday Drive.
If you truly care about your...
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, final segment of hour number 1. Let's get to the drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar and Jeff. Is up first. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good. Almost 1 week down of practice. Hard to believe. Under 30 days before kickoff.
Yeah, that is great.
Man. Tell me, guys, is this a dream? This recruiting thing? Tell me. Oh, my goodness. Is this? I cannot believe this.
You're gonna wake up and it's gonna be the off season after the 2021 season or something.
Look, Hugh Freeze is a relentless recruiter, and he believes in that. When the point of the spear is that way, he's make sure that everybody else that's with him is going to be a very, very good recruiter. I mean, that's just – it's the philosophy. That's just the way he is. And that – I mean, the staff that he has assembled, and I'm not talking just the coaches. The off-field staff is – I mean, they are just constantly churning and working, and they're not done. Nope. They're not done, Jeff.
Could have some big news as early as tomorrow.
I know. That's why I said I don't want to wake up. Let the dream continue. It's amazing. I understand where are we with Deuce. I understand we're real close.
Yeah. I think that's one to keep a close eye on this week and maybe even sooner.
Keep a close watch there. That's when you're talking about working. Auburn really has. When you start hearing some of the Notre Dame folks, you know, talking about other options, I think that's good.
And of course, he's talking about Deuce Knight, the number one or two dual threat quarterback in the country from over Mississippi, a big tall lefty, can sling it.
Ole Miss trying to get in there.
Yeah, when you watch his highlights, you can see that when he's pressured. He can still make the throw. He can make throws from odd, he doesn't have to just stand there and have the same form every time. He can
improvise and throw it from different angles.
Remind you a little bit of the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Patrick Mahomes. Not saying he's that good.
Brody Croyle?
But he has a little bit of that in him, right? And, of course, when he gets free, he can motor it too.
Wow. If we could get this kid under commitment, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it really. I mean, I'm amazed right now, but my goodness, I just cannot imagine.
Appreciate the call, Jeff. Great hearing from you. We need to get to our top of the hour break. Halfway done here on the Monday Drive.
1-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. And welcome in if you haven't been with us for hour number one. We had a fun hour. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com talking about some of the things we've seen for the first few days of practice, some of the comments from players that have been made available to the media. We'll have another opportunity to watch practice tomorrow and again on Wednesday. And we'll have players for the next 2 days, and then offensive assistant coaches on Thursday, Coach Hugh Freeze Friday, and then a practice on Saturday that the media is going to be able to watch before Fan Day. So nice. Fun times as we're just 3.5 weeks away from the start of Auburn football season.
And we have some breaking news.
Whoop.
Speaking of recruiting.
Play the music.
Yeah, we need that breaking music.
Auburn has landed, I think it's its sixth 2026 commitment. It's from Wayne Henry, a defensive back from St. Francis in Baltimore, Maryland.
That will be the third player committed to Auburn from that high school in Baltimore. Becoming a pipeline to Auburn.
Just in the last couple of months, the D's kid, is it Bryce? Yeah, Bryce D's, the linebacker, safety in the 25 class committed. And then Auburn, during Big Cat?
It was during Big Cat.
Yeah, Auburn got a commitment from Blake Woodby, the
former Ohio State commitment.
Yep, also from that school. And Auburn recently offered a defensive tackle from that school. A very talented school up there. I think DJ Durkin. Who is a former coach at Maryland.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
That's
a lot of good contacts up there that's really helping Auburn out in recruiting right now.
Yeah, so that is big. And we were talking there at the end of hour number one. I mean, don't be shocked if Auburn adds some more commits for the 2025 class before too long. We've been saying this, though. I mean, it's been crazy. That is 9 commitments that Auburn has picked up for either 25 or 26 since Big Cat.
Yeah, it's wild.
And I think they'll add some more. I mean, it makes sense because players, if they have a good feeling as where they want to go, can go ahead and get it out of the way before they get started with their football season.
And some of the players I have on, say, Commit Watch, or I think Auburn's in pretty good shape for right now in the 25 class. We mentioned Deuce Knight, the quarterback from Mississippi, currently committed to Notre Dame. Sam Turner. The wide receiver currently committed to Georgia Tech.
He's from Georgia, but I don't recall which town.
Naheem Offord, who is from Birmingham, The number one player in the state, one of the top cornerbacks
in the state. One of the top players in the country.
In the country, five-star, currently committed to Ohio State. And then Tyler Lockhart, the linebacker from Mississippi, was committed to Auburn, decommitted, but came to Big Cat. I think things went really, really well with him and his family.
Yeah, so those are just some players to be keeping an eye on. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com with us as he is on Mondays. We'd love for you to join in as well. You can call us on the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Hour number two of the Drive, brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Today, let's see, Auburn sent four or five players out to meet with the media today. I didn't get a chance to get over there today. I was over there the other day. We had some audio from some of those players. Dan, you were talking about some of the comments that you heard while you were in there. I mean, what were some of the things that you sort of caught your attention?
So I was in there for Kay and Lee and Austin Keys. Austin Keys is somebody who, you know, he had a tumultuous first year at the team. You know, had to miss a lot of the season with that thumb injury. Suffered it, I believe, in the opener. And had to miss a big chunk of the season. So, you know, I think he's just grateful to be back and healthy and in position to play a lot if he can stay healthy this upcoming season. I'm always curious when guys have an injury that takes them away from the team for a long period of time. Like, what kind of stuff do you do to still feel like part of the team? You know, because I imagine if you're gone, you know, if you're not there on the road trips, if you're not there at practice. It can be isolating for the player, and it can also be tough, you know, getting back in the swing of things when you weren't there while your teammates were at work, and so Austin Keys, you know, he's talked about how whether it's just doing things off the field with Eugene and with his new teammates, but really taking that and really being present and active and attentive in meetings. You know, that was sort of his advice for any player suffering an injury that can't be as involved in practice as they want. It's like you need to take advantage of those mental reps. And it seems like he's even though he didn't get the experience he wanted out of his first season at Auburn, he's ready to really contribute in year two. And when he was healthy last year, he looked like a totally credible SEC linebacker. So it's I think, you know, Austin Keys, it's a cool story of a guy persevering through. You know, Auburn has a couple of those stories at linebacker, right?
No kidding. Eugene Asante was nowhere on the depth chart to be found until Hugh Freeze showed up.
And Austin Keys talked about that a little bit too. You know, the infectious energy of Eugene Asante, the enthusiasm. You know, it's tough to be having a bad day in the meeting room with Eugene Asante around. Doing his Eugene Asante thing, and that's something that's really in a room that has some young guys who did, you know, some older guys who did not start their careers at Auburn.
No, he's got four older guys who didn't start their careers at Auburn, and four seniors.
And Robert Woodyard, who's an older guy who did start his career at Auburn.
He's an older guy who is still just a sophomore in eligibility.
I know, it's wild to think.
It's his third year.
And then some brand new freshmen, you know, looking to contribute as well. I think Austin Keys Keys and Asante seem to be in a really good position to lead that room.
Did he talk about anything about the two transfers from this year, Dorian Mosey and Fanage?
You know, mentioned Fanage Gote a little bit as someone who's up to speed, you know, pretty early on, you know, and was you know, despite missing spring and being part of the team now, you know, he's somebody who looks to be in the swing of things. The real praise, and I mentioned this earlier, the guys that have blown away Austin Keys are Keyron Crawford and some of the incoming freshmen at edge and linebacker. You know, you mentioned Riddick, mentioned Joe Phillips, mentioned Keyron Crawford as guys who, I mean, I don't know if it was a direct comparison. He drew comparisons between how ready Keyron Crawford is now and how ready Jalen McLeod was last year. And a big difference is Jalen McLeod had to start last year, right? Like
start, and then he wasn't healthy. Remember, he got hurt just before the season started.
You have Keyron Crawford ready to contribute behind a healthy Jalen McLeod. And as something we saw the first week, Bill, a couple of packages where you could have to contend with both Jalen McLeod and Kieron Crawford on the field at the same time going after a quarterback, which is an interesting possibility.
It seems like most every player that's been asked about defensive guys has mentioned Kieron Crawford. And I didn't get to hear today, but I mean, the other day it was Amaris Williams. I mean, it's just a couple of guys that are
keeps getting talked about.
Yes. I'll never forget the meatball of power.
Yeah.
I mean,
somebody else said
was that who said that?
I think it was Jalen.
No, okay. I believe Jalen today called Jeremiah Wright a meatball.
So that's a Jalen McLeod saying.
Yes. Zekebius said that.
Called Jeremiah Wright a meatball.
I wonder if they heard Jalen. So that's two different players that have called a player a meatball of something.
Called different players meatballs.
You wonder, is there a coach saying that to him?
Maybe they just have this one day they're sort of meatballs.
Coach, yeah.
What
coach?
Something they really love.
What coach is saying that?
Coach of power.
Coach Boyardee is out there telling people about
Chef.
Yeah. Don Dunn. They bring Coach Dunn back.
Oh man, that is crazy. I wonder if there's like an inside something on that.
Because sure.
I've never heard a football player call another player, especially in when he's praising them.
I'm here for meat references though. If you guys want to do it, right? Start calling guys, you know, tough cuts of steak or beef jerky or whatever. You know what? Do whatever you need. He's gamey, Bill. Wow. No, I mean, I think it's an unusual adjective, and you're right to hear two different players described as
meatballs.
It's meatballs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Amaris Williams, Brian. I mean, he's a guy that they were working a little bit at edge in the spring, but he's grown into an end.
I think he's him and Kendrick Falk are going to rotate in there at a defensive end along with Zeke Walker. I think Amaris is a lot like Keldrick in that he's going to be a true freshman that's going to be ready to step in and play right away with just a ton of physical talent. And Zekebius talked about how physical he played for a freshman, which is always a good sign for a defensive lineman. And I also think he's a guy that's going to get big enough where he can start at defensive end and move inside the defensive tackle in pass rushing situations, a lot like Keldrick Falk's going to do this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, you were talking about how the comments of comparing Kieron Crawford to Jalen McLeod from a year ago. And, Brian, who was the player the other day? One of the players the other day was talking about Amaris Williams to Keldrick Falk and saying he might be a little ahead of where Keldrick was at this point a year ago. And that makes you go,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that's a
pretty strong
sign.
Statement.
It is. And we mentioned in the first hour, but he definitely passes the look test. When you walk on that field, you're going to notice him right away. And the other great thing about Kieron Crawford is he's got an extra year of eligibility.
Right.
So like Jalen McLeod, he can come in here and do his thing, and you would expect a full off season of SEC strength and conditioning training and a full season of experience is going to make him a real, real weapon by this time next year. Not to say that he's not going to be putting up some good numbers this fall too.
Brian, I know folks want to hear talk about the quarterbacks, but I mean, when we were talking about this the other day, when I look out there, there is a difference. I mean, there's Peyton, and then there are the other guys.
Yeah,
is what I see when I see the quarterbacks right now, at least the first couple of days.
Man, I think Peyton's showing some pretty good leadership out there. I think Auburn has done a great job. I know we talked about this a lot, of just improving everything around him, from the offense to be on the same page, to the offensive line, to definitely the receiver room, to putting more focus on being better running team and stretching the field to give the passing game more options, right? Instead of having to, you know, defenses be able to just focus on things and take things away and make it so difficult to execute. I think all those things are now not part of this year's team. And, you know, if he could just go out there and execute and make good decisions, I think he has potential to have a really, really good season.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it with Rivaldo. But, I mean, everything Auburn did last year, I mean, it seemed like defenses knew that it was most likely all they had to be concerned with was within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's going to be something you're going to throw it really short or you're going to run it. that Auburn could do successfully.
We really saw in the bowl game how Auburn's receivers at that time could not beat one-on-one coverage. And when that can't happen, that allows you to put a lot of extra bodies in there to defend the run, and it completely shuts down an offense. You just cannot do anything.
You can just see it in the bowl game.
Yeah. It was really evident. Against a team that maybe was a pretty average team, playing another pretty average team, and really having a plan that just really wiped them out offensively.
I would say more often than not over the last decade, two decades, like when it consistently winning one-on-one matchups has not been a trademark of Auburn offenses. And when it has been, those have probably been your best teams.
Well, Seth, of course, was good in one-on-one situations, certainly. During his time. But there have not been a whole lot of receivers that have really excelled over the past couple of decades at Auburn, I feel like.
No, Darvin Adams Taylor was pretty good.
Yeah,
Darvin.
And you know what? And I thought Seth was better at winning 50-50.
Yeah, his was more like, throw it up and see if he comes down with it.
I don't think Seth Williams got open at a dominant level compared to other SEC receivers.
Yeah,
I think
he
was more I think that these seem like guys who they might be physically capable of winning the 50-50 balls too, but it seems like a group of receivers winning their matchups and getting open would be a change of pace, and Auburn might have that with this group.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been one of the positions that Auburn just has struggled to find those elite NFL-type players for a long time, and I think that's changing this season.
334-321-1390, that's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. We need to get to our first break. We'll shift and confirmation of yet another big basketball opponent, pretty much close to finalizing Auburn's basketball schedule. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
Attention large property owners.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. 19 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Dan, joined by Brian Matthews, our tri-host. Is that right?
Sounds good to me.
It's not co-host.
No, I think he's still a co-host.
Are we part of the tri?
I think 15 people.
You have to watch a certain show to know what that means.
Yeah.
I think if there's 15 of us, we're all still co-hosts. I think that number.
Well, one of three here on the on Mondays. Brian always with us, and I wanted to get into a little basketball. We had heard that this was going to happen for over a month. But today it was officially confirmed that Auburn will be taking on Ohio State in the Hoopsgiving Classic over in Atlanta.
I mean, the preseason schedule is just unbelievable.
This non-conference schedule is ridiculous.
It's just crazy how many good quality top 5, top 10, 15 type programs Auburn is going to be taking on in November and December leading up to SEC plays. It's going to be a fun season to cover, a talented, deep team, a lot of experience. And are they going to be put to the test early?
Yeah, Bruce Pearl doesn't want to have the chance of what happened last year when they had a lot of teams that had been in the tournament the year before and were expected to be in the tournament, and it turned out most of them fell short. And Auburn also had almost all of them at home last year.
Yeah, this year they're going to Houston to take on the Cougars, which is, I'm assuming they're going to be a top 10, top 5, top team this year.
Yeah, you see them preseason number one in at least one poll right now.
Maui Invitational, there's like six or seven top 25 teams.
Including the defending national champs.
Yeah. So Auburn's going to play. They got Duke in Durham,
at
North
Cameron.
Carolina.
Yeah.
Wow. And now you got Ohio
State,
Atlanta, Purdue, and Birmingham.
Yeah, this
unbelievable.
It is great. I mean, now, and this is what Alabama did last year. I don't know that they did. I mean, they had a really, really tough schedule.
They did.
And they didn't win them all. And there were a lot of people thinking, wow, why are they doing that? Then you look at the postseason, you see the seedings. That helped them definitely there.
Yep.
And I think it really helped them get ready for the postseason as well.
Assuming Auburn has a decent record by the time we get to March, this non-conference schedule is going to be a huge boost to them come Selection Sunday.
If Auburn had gotten, and it didn't happen, but if Auburn had gotten to the Sweet 16 last year, I think people would have been saying, well, this Auburn team didn't see a team like UConn all season. It's a question of what kind, you know, what are we going to get when they – Alabama – saw teams like North Carolina when Alabama played a one when Alabama
they
played
got North Carolina they had Gonzaga they had
Alabama played North Carolina in the Sweet 16 when North Carolina was a one seed, but Alabama had seen teams on the 1-2 line in non-conference play leading up to the NCAA tournament, and I think I think that the impact on the computer rankings is probably more. I mean, Auburn will see between even in conference play, I mean, you play Alabama twice. So then, there's some top 10 teams on the schedule. We'll see where Arkansas is when the season gets started as people move them into their top 20s. And I've seen Arkansas at least one place as a top 15 national championship odds school. So we'll see where we'll see where the
that's
projections.
Going to be really interesting to see.
I know
if that Adidas case.
If he builds a team on the fly with largely seven or eight new players and they're playing at that level immediately. I don't think it's out of the question in college basketball to do that. And you would think it would be somebody like Calipari.
A lot of Kentucky fans will say, yeah, he can tease you.
Yeah.
But it's been a minute.
We'll see how their team looks too, right?
Yeah. I don't see any reason that he'd be able to attract better players at Arkansas than he did at Kentucky.
Yeah. It's odd.
But if you can attract just as, the same type players, you got a chance.
Yeah. And I think with Kentucky, I mean, there was such an emphasis on five-star freshmen. And I wonder if he's going to recalibrate that at all. I mean, there are a lot of veterans he's added in the portal.
Go more portal.
A balance of the two. I don't know, but. Since we're sort of talking computer rankings here for Auburn basketball, I think there's no doubt that Bruce Pearl has. It seems twofold. It's a chance to give Auburn a chance to see top tier competition before conference play gets going, so they're not overwhelmed when they get into that first week of SEC play. I think it seems like a suicide mission to send your team into SEC play having played patsies all November and all December.
Did we see that last year, Ole Miss?
There are teams that beat up on overmatched teams all November and all December.
They went into conference 16-0, wasn't it?
Yes.
Last year.
And Ole Miss did win. I think they beat Florida Florida the first week of league play and played Auburn close, but there wasn't a team that they were a team that fell apart for any number of reasons.
Yeah, I guess they didn't have 16 non-conference games.
Ole Miss is probably a pretty good example of that. But yeah, it just seems like you wouldn't want to you wouldn't want to be full of false confidence because you've beaten up a bunch of teams that don't resemble what you're going to see in SEC play. Auburn, that won't be the case.
No.
Like Auburn will have, and maybe they'll lose a couple of them, but Auburn will be battle-tested before SEC play begins with great teams. And the point you just made, Bill, that it's also valuable to your NCAA tournament, profile to be playing games like these away from home. You know, playing these type of games away from your home arena, and it could add to your quad one profile and improve your chances in the tournament.
Yeah, and there's no question. I mean, the excitement is really there for this upcoming basketball as well. I mean, here we are. We're 3.5 weeks away from football season.
I know.
But basketball, I mean, but the talent there, returning talent, and then from all indications, I mean, a very impressive group of newcomers as well.
Yeah, we've heard some great things about the Georgia Tech.
Miles Kelly.
Yeah, Miles Kelly and his shooting. Just unlimited range in a lot of ways. The Turtle transfer that's going to play, down low, has done some good things.
Jaheim Hudson.
Shooting threes, maybe they didn't necessarily expect. And, of course, the
J.P. Pegues.
Yeah, the point guard is exactly what Auburn needed at that position to bring stability to the team, to run the offense. And just to be able to do some different things that position Auburn hasn't had in a couple of maybe three seasons at least.
And then the two freshmen have really been impressive as well. I mean, this is and it's crazy. I mean, that's five new faces on a roster that has 12 scholarship guys. So you're going, that's a lot. No, not really. You look around. That is seven returnees is a dream for most schools these days in college basketball.
It really is.
And they're not just seven guys that were sitting on the bench. I mean, Auburn's got players. I mean, When you bring back, you know, Jani Broome and Denver Jones and, you know, Chaney, I mean, guys that have played as much as Auburn players have played, that's a tremendous situation.
I think Jakai Howard, if he continues to improve, he has a chance to be that. I don't know if sixth man is the right word, but the sixth or seventh or maybe eighth guy coming off the bench, but be one of those guys that can come in and just give you those exciting minutes, getting up and down the floor, dunking the ball. He can shoot it.
I think he'll be electricity off the bench. Yes. I didn't mention CBM when I'm talking about guys returning either.
Right.
Chad. I mean, so, yeah, it is crazy.
It's a really good lineup, great depth, and it's just a matter of getting those guys to play together, to understand their roles, you know, to set aside their personal, you know, goals and ambitions and do what's best for the team.
And of course, our guy, Dylan.
Of course. A player like Jakai, you know, we'll see what he does in year one. It does sound like he could be somebody who, if he gets a year to acclimate to college basketball and improve, you know, I remember hearing on the recruiting trail that he was someone who, like, the athleticism is overwhelming. The game is developing.
Human highlight reel.
Yeah, the game is developing. And maybe in a year, the game is closer to the athleticism and he can be a complete player. And that's not something you want a guy to learn playing 30 minutes a game. Right, like that's not something you want. You know, maybe that's a situation where he can get a taste of college basketball in his first year on a team full of veterans who are ready to play 30 plus minutes, and he could be a huge part of next year's team, or maybe more than that in his first year. You know, it's up in the air, but it seems like he's somebody who, and I guess this also could be true of Pettiford. Like we'll see how much Auburn leans on Pettiford when you have.
I think he gets more minutes.
I think so too. Yeah. But I think the question is more minutes, but still on a team with.
Oh, it doesn't have to be 25 plus.
Yes, no. on a team with JP Pegues and Denver Jones and a Miles Kelly who can play the minutes at the two as well. Like
Jakai is probably going to be the primary backup for CBM, I would think. Him and Chris Moore, you know. Of course, Chris can play some four too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Ty Pettiford is probably your backup too.
He's competing at the point.
Yeah,
and two.
So he can get minutes at both. And I do think he'll probably have more minutes than Jakai, but I think both guys are going to get a chance to be in that rotation.
Going to really be interesting to see how. I mean, and you may not be able to tell at times. There may be two guys out there, and you're not sure really who's running the point, who's running the two. With Denver being able to play a little of the point and the two, and Tahad being able to do the same things. So, I mean, Tahad may be out there as the two with Denver running point, and you see Tahad come in for JP or something.
Yeah.
That flexibility that Bruce has with this team, I think is going to be great because they can change lineups subtly. Subtly? Subtly.
It's a tough one. Don't ask me to pronounce it.
Wait, with subtle?
Yes.
Oh,
S-U-B-T-L-E, you know, subtly.
Subtly doing it,
yes.
Yeah.
But, subtly. I mean, it just didn't sound right when I said it. But, I mean, you can do it where it's not as noticeable, okay? Let me put it that way. Or you can have drastic changes. I mean, you can slowly go small to big or different lineups in between.
Yep, and you can have a team out there from 1 through 5 that can all shoot a three pretty good and spread teams out, or you can put some bigs in there and
pound
Jani at four and really hurt guys inside.
Yeah, that's it's really, really exciting to think about. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. Love to hear from you. I know, you know, folks are wrapping things up. School's getting started. It's hard to believe.
Thursday,
right?
Yeah. Yep.
Inconspicuously? Yeah, I guess. Also, I guess, meaning the same thing there. You know, I guess that's also... That one's no easier to say.
I mean, when you read it, it's easier to read and understand than it is to say.
Do you
it
lean on the understand. B and subtle more than you?
That's
subtly.
Subtly. That's why when I said subtly, it sounded like I misspoke and didn't say suddenly or something. All right. We'll work on our grammar as we get to our bottom of the hour break.
I thought you were struggling to say suddenly, and I was going to Drew call a doctor.
You would if I struggled that much. All right, we're right back. Come on in and help us. Give us a call 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Monday Drive. Yeah.
The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Yep. Welcome back into The Drive, 25 minutes away from 6 o'clock here on this Monday. Let's get back to The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Tex is up first. Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing all right, Tex. Good to hear from you.
Well, thank you. It's 108 on my temperature gauge for the outside temperature.
All right. You're back in Red Stick, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. It's not as hot here. I mean, the temperature's 92, but we've got like 20-mile-an-hour winds, so it actually feels pretty nice outside today.
Well, I would like to trade again. Kind of feel like I'm at the gates of hell. You kind of are.
No, it's not.
Don't back down. There you go.
That's it.
Janiah Broome, my question, since you're talking basketball, has he got a local high school coach, big-time high school coach in Baton Rouge, saw him the other day, and he's very he loves college basketball, and he always asks me about Broome. And his question this time was, has he added any muscle mass or strength or weight heading into the season? Or heading into the fall.
I have not seen him this summer.
I saw him. He looks about the same to me, but it was he could have added a little, but I mean it's not like I don't think he wants to lose any quickness, obviously doing that. Bruce's strength and conditioning program, you can see differences in some players. I think Janai is about what he's going to be as far as physically. Mm-hmm. Did the guy think he needed to?
Well, for the next level, yes. So, just strength, not necessarily bulking up.
That's I just wonder if at the next level, I think Janai's probably Janai's not going to be a post at the next level.
Right. Well, but even three, fours, and fives up there are men.
Oh, you're right.
And, big men. All right, so when's the last time you can remember a top five recruiting class in baseball returning intact?
Not at Auburn.
Coach Thompson said not in his entire career as a college coach.
Yeah, never at Auburn has been their class this highly decorated that all have been in the fall.
I mean, it's amazing to me.
It is.
They signed a great class of pitchers.
I tell you what, the combination of Major League Baseball and its draft philosophies and the draft shrinking and NIL, and now the apparent future of being able to give every player a full scholarship is going to make it more likely that you can do that.
Well, I will tell you, I made a couple phone calls to some former LSU players and an LSU coach and had this discussion, and they said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the report, intact. And so they can't ever remember it happening here, which, they've had some really good recruiting classes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
They can't remember it ever happening here.
At a school like LSU, they signed so many great players, though. It's tough. It's tough for them to get them all in.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that already. And some of the pictures of the construction at the stadium has been quite phenomenal to watch on.
Did you ride by it while you were in town?
Yes, I did. On the way out, actually, on Sunday. So it's quite remarkable.
It really is.
You know, Bill, I really wish they'd bring back those beautiful, beautiful aluminum bleachers.
what an improvement it was over the three wooden stands that were behind the chicken wire back in the day. But no, it's nice. It's nice for there to be an enclosed area if you're having to work.
Well, they need to have a throwback design where they bring the chain link fence back with the green slat stuck through.
Yeah.
With the barbed wire holders pointing out
out of the field.
You know, they might still have all that stuff sitting in the pile where they put it when they took it all down. Tex, maybe they can have retro.
You know,
night.
maybe underneath. Yeah, maybe underneath somewhere buried. Some of that stuff is, but
I can't even remember where I put my watch today. But I can remember some dumb stuff from back in the day.
Same.
No sense. Same. So. Hey, a question. Just messing around today, I pulled up the roster for football to look at heights and weights. Is our quarterback really 6'2", 170 pounds?
Quarterback?
And that's from the university website.
No, that's not what it is.
Starting quarterback.
No, unless, boy, I was just looking at the roster a while ago. I had not looked at
Peyton. The university page. And they listed him at 6'2", 170 pounds.
They got him at 203.
Yeah, on the athletic website, he's listed at 203, and I think that's probably really, really close if it's not exact.
Okay. Well, I just remember some of his runs and where we sit in the stadium, reasonably close to the field. He looks bigger, and I'm surprised. I would be surprised this year if he doesn't run the football a little bit more, too. Because I think we'll create lanes. If they have to cover guys, they're going to create lanes for all different kinds of runs that could exist. So, but I just saw 170, and I may have looked at the wrong line.
No,
I just kind of freaked out. I was like, wow. So I weighed that when I was 13. anyway, I appreciate it. It's great listening to you guys. By the way, it's gone down to 103. Clouds have come over.
Oh, man. It's just right. Sit back and chill.
All right, that's right. Have a good one.
All right, Tex.
Take care.
334-321-1390.
I think one of the recruiting websites had Thorne listed when he was in the portal at 6'2", 170, but he never. I mean, Michigan State listed him at 210.
Right.
And I believe even as a high school player, his recruiting profile said he was 190. So,
that's a typo from somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate, Bill.
All right, let's get back to the Drive hotline, and I think John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, just another basketball observation, and then I have a general athletics question for you guys. Thinking about this Auburn basketball coming up this next season, even if it's on the road, thinking about this non-conference, one of Auburn's easier games on the schedule might be Vanderbilt. And just thinking historically, what a nightmare it's been to play in Nashville in the regular season. Like, that's another one that'll take longtime Auburn basketball fans back and just, wow, things have changed.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, that building has not been kind to Auburn through the years.
No, and I can remember many a night where it was a struggle to hit 55 in there for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a general athletics question for you. With football probably going to 105 to stay compliant with Title IX. If y'all talked about it, I missed it. Does Auburn have a plan on where to put women's scholarships in? What sports, or are there plans to add a women's sport, or any talk or any rumors y'all have heard on that?
That is all still way up in the air. The NCAA allowed. Well, they set the roster limit at 105.
Right.
And you can have scholarships up to 105, but that doesn't mean conferences like the Big Ten and SEC are going to approve scholarships up to 105. That remains to be seen. The other thing that has to be worked out is, can you apply Title IX to revenue sports the same as you apply it to the non-revenue sports? There may be some wiggle room there
A couple of the other things that I'd seen since the initial report, John, is that the track and field will have its roster size is going to be set at 45, and you've got huge rosters that have been set for volleyball and soccer. They're increasing those.
Yes, they are.
So I think that would be a way. I think when you look at the roster sizes for all sports, it's going to end up being pretty close. So I don't know that you'd have to add sports, but Brian's right. It's going to be really interesting if these, you know, once these roster limits are set, to find out what conferences decide to do. I'm sure conferences will say, we're going to go with a max of however many, and then maybe not every school in that conference would be able to do that in some of the different conferences. This is we're far from knowing where we're going to be as far as scholarship wise.
And they don't want to get sued and lose another lawsuit.
No.
They're trying to avoid that, so they're trying to come up with the correct way to do this now.
Well, I feel like it's only feasible in the SEC and the Big Ten.
If you're going, in all intents, you'd be close to doubling your total number of scholarships that you're giving out when you're increasing by so much in some of the non-revenue sports.
The other thing that's changed with football is of that 105, some of them can now be partial scholarships.
Right.
So you could still...
In every sport, we'll have the ability to have partial scholarships the way we've seen in others.
We'll see what happens at the major conference level with the SEC and the Big Ten and the ACC. I have to imagine that possibly at the highest level of college athletics, and certainly when you get beyond the major conferences where the revenues from the TV deals don't look like they do in the SEC and the Big Ten, I mean, you could see... A byproduct of this could be the elimination of certain programs at the, you know, whether it's men's programs to stay Title IX compliant, or women's programs that aren't generating revenue, and then men's programs, you know, men's and women's programs that aren't generating subsequent revenue. Like, I think that's absolutely, you know, I think that's it's interesting. The Olympics are going on right now because you think about what a significant downsizing of Olympic sports at athletic departments around America would potentially do, not just to the games from producing American athletes, but also its impact on the rest of the world.
I'm looking at an article that was written over the weekend that said it's estimated that the 40 plus sports that the NCAA deals with at the Division I level would be increased a total of 790 spots. So it says, Gabe, this was written by someone in St. Louis. It says, for the University of Missouri specifically, the number of scholarship spots could go from 269 to 503. So yes, it would nearly double if everything. Now, again, I there's no way I think that every sport is going to, that every school is going to say, oh, sure, we'll go to the full scholarships on the full roster for every sport. But it is something that will, you know, it will end some sports at some schools.
Yeah. And the interesting – go ahead.
I was going to ask a question. Here at Auburn, isn't equestrian the second most scholarship sport?
It may be.
I don't think it was, but that scholarship limit just went way up. Like way up.
Yeah.
Well, you got the riders and the horses.
The other thing to think about here is right now the football team is recruiting for the 2025 class. These rosters are for the 2025 class. So they've got
to
get
they
this
need
figured
to
out.
Know yeah. how many spots they have available yeah. to be giving for next year, because you don't want to be backing off somebody that you'd give a scholarship to if you had more.
If you legitimately are going to have 105 scholarship players on a team every year, you're going to have to sign, I don't know, four, five, six players, more players in a class than you normally would.
Mm-hmm.
And have fun if you're at a Georgia Tech or a Troy or a UAB trying to hold on to your recruiting class.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Because
thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you, John. It's great. That's a great, it's great conversation point, because this is probably a reason why this hasn't, you know, when the story first came out, it was like expected to be approved in a couple of days. I'm sure there are quite a few administrators going, hey, hold on. You're talking about how many more scholarships? Because again, as we mentioned one time last week, Brian, it's not as though, hey, this is just free scholarships that the athletic department's getting. The athletic department's got to pay the university for those scholarships.
Yeah. And that is part of the revenue sharing that they've approved, which right now, and the NCAA tried to pass rules saying you can't, but I think that's a lawsuit waiting for them to lose again. But I think you're still going to have NIL on top of that revenue sharing too.
No question.
I know the NCAA doesn't want that, but I just don't see how they can stop it.
All right. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
War Eagle Auburn family.